Hey, honey, what's for supper today? Oh, spaghetti and meatballs, my favorite. I think it's the basil that you put in. Day two. Hey, honey, what's for supper? Oh, leftovers, spaghetti and meatballs. Sometimes it's even better the next day. Day three. Hey, honey, what's for dinner? You made spaghetti and meatballs again. Oh, I guess you really love me. Thank you. Day four. Hey, honey, what's for dinner today? Spaghetti and meatballs. Is everything okay? Day 10. I don't care how much you love me if we have spaghetti and meatballs again. That'll make a bit more sense as we go along. What is creativity? In a very basic sense, it's using your imagination to make something. But within that broad definition, I think what comes out is that good things can be created. We see this demonstrated in the beginning part of Scripture, that God created and that everything he created was good. So God is creative. It's part of his nature. And I think it's because he wants to demonstrate things about himself and draw us to himself. There's something about creativity that inspires us. It stirs us. It reaches inward. Creation communicates. God designed it this way. We don't always recognize it. There's kind of the surface goodness, and then there's something deeper. So what is it that God is trying to show us through his creativity? Well, let's think about this for a bit. Did God need to make the variety of creation the way he did? So tons of things he created. Let's just think of one thing. Let's say flowers. Flowers are beautiful. If God had made just this one flower, this one kind of flower, and filled the earth with just one kind of flower, but it still would have been awesome. But God didn't do that. What he did was give us several kinds of flowers, each unique and distinct. It's like a unearthly array of variety. So did he have to do it that way? And if not, why did he? I think at very least we can say that it's extravagant goodness. God also is creative to demonstrate truth. He, of course, relates truth to us in direct ways, but he also does it through creativity. It should be very telling for us that the Spirit inspired poetry, music, and proverbs in the Old Testament scripture, and he did this to help teach us about himself, about his works on the earth. And sometimes in scripture, God teaches, again, directly by teaching us his attributes or his plan of salvation. And other times he teaches more indirectly by speaking of, like, essential practical wisdom, like in Proverbs. Or pointing us to see truth using nature as an example or poetic language, like God comparing the lilies of the field. Jesus saying, look at the lilies of the field, and teaching from that. And in the New Testament, Jesus spoke in parables to help us see important principles more clearly. For instance, he could have said, God will always forgive you if you come back to him humbly, and he'll take you back. But instead, he gave us the parable of the prodigal son, which demonstrates God's father heart unlike any statement can express. God knows how we learn truth best. Let's learn from how he teaches, from what we see in our truth sharing today, Does making God's love and truth tangible through creative means represent a need in our world? I think it does. All of the methods that God has made are there for a reason. God is also creative to show us beauty, that beauty exists, and that it's connected to Him. Even though we can't always define what beauty is, that we recognize it. Not just in the area of visuals or visual art, but in things that touch every one of our senses. Music for our hearing, tastes, smells, physical comfort, even invisible things like personality or inner strength can be said to be beautiful. Beauty exists in all these areas. And it's not just that we like certain things better than other things. Something stands out as another caliber, another essence in just how specially it connects with us. And we don't all agree on what those specifics are, but the quality of beauty existing is agreed. It's just inherent to our being. Like the priceless gem that is hidden deep under layers of rock, beauty stands out from all that's around it. Ultimately, this is to show us God Himself, because He is the source of all beauty, and He is the most beautiful thing. It's one of the things we praise Him for. In his book, Art and Faith, Makoto Fujimura has this quote, which I really like. Beauty made through self-sacrifice can lead to the incarnation of what God's love can offer the world. Now, the interesting thing about humans is that we are made in God's image, so we also have the ability to create. And here's a few things about creativity that I see in Scripture. First, that it's intended by God, that He wants us to create. In the example of the tabernacle, God raised up artists to work on this tabernacle. It wasn't just throw a tarp over the tabernacle. It was weave purple, blue, and scarlet yarn together, finely twisted linen. Weave cherubim into the curtain, cherubim being the angelic protectors, God's servants who would protect them. So by putting that onto the curtain, it was a visual reminder of God's invisible protection of them. And it wasn't just anyone doing this, it was expert hands. Not that we can't do art even if we're not experts, but that the greater degree of skill that's used in art relates the beauty to a greater degree, or the meaning to a greater degree. So that's weaving. Then there was also embroidering, a separate skill. And then there was metalwork, both on the atonement cover, but also on the lampstand that was meant to have almond flowers and buds and blossoms, metal sculpted or forged into the metal as a reminder that God's light in the lampstand was beautiful, that it was meant to be fruitful. Not only is human creativity intended by God, it's also something that the Spirit is meant to take part in. In the scripture that Geraldine read for us, the Lord filled Bezalel with the Spirit of God, making him highly skilled, resourceful, and knowledgeable in all trades. Does this mean that he just kind of got downloaded with this skill in an instant? Possible. It doesn't say, but I'd like to think, like Philippians 2:13 says, "For it's God who works in you both to will and to work his good pleasure," that the desire to do these creative acts can be something that God gives us, and that can spur us on to work at it, to learn it, to become adept at it. And that is a spiritual initiated and sustained activity. And then there were more. There were jewelers, carpenters, designers. Several different ways, and that's only some that there are out there. So these passages like this make it clear that creativity is not a second-class service. We often acknowledge this in the church when it comes to music, but creativity is more than just music, and it should make us ask the question, how might we benefit from other forms of art in our worship? If you have ideas, you can go talk to Wes. So, it's also, creativity is not, for those who have the strength, it's also a calling. Luke 10:27, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. Not everyone might have a creative bent or strength. We all have some strengths. Whatever they are, we are meant to love God with them, creativity included. Think of your favorite art, painting, music, story, drama. Think of how it's encouraged you or excited you, refreshed you. Now think of a world without any of it, where we only had functional jobs and no artistic ones. I don't know if that's a world I'd want to live in. So that brings me to my journey to film school. It started in about 10 years ago. I was in a good career of technical writing. I had hobbies, friends, good fulfilling ministry. That was my world, but I felt I had something more to give. So then an opportunity arose about pursuing creativity. I really enjoyed books, TV, and movies, and of course, not everything in that sphere is healthy. There's lots to watch out for, but there's lots that were inspirational to me. They stirred me. It enlightened my thinking, presented me with goodness, beauty, and truth. I could have picked novel writing. That's something that I could see myself doing, but I picked screenwriting. I guess I just felt like I engaged with film more than books, even though I love books as well. So I started on a journey of developing these creative skills in this field. I took evening classes, seminars, conferences, and I read books. So that brought about a new situation for me. I started writing. I wrote my first screenplay, a fantasy epic. It took 2 years because I was working at the time, but I loved it. And I wrote another screenplay, which was an adaptation. Even though it was someone else's story, I loved fleshing it out and adapting it into a screenplay. Then I wrote a short film script, a futuristic sci-fi, dealt with the theme that small individuals can play a big part in the greater story, and of grace providing what's needed for the challenge being faced. And I loved that too. I would pitch these online, but I wasn't really going anywhere, partly because I didn't know how good I was. No one was really reading them. So then there was a change of plans. God pointed out to me the parable of the talents. Matthew 25:15. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Now, in this story, only one servant buries his talent, but the implication is clear. God won't be happy with any buried talents. So I had a good skill set that I was exercising in my career that I had invested in. But I felt like I was a servant that was given 2 talents. And if that was the case, it was not sufficient for me to develop or invest only in one. But was school the right path? There was a lot of uncertainty, but I applied to Vancouver Film School. That was my sense of what it meant to invest in that talent. So then there was some progress. A series of doors opening that helped affirm this direction. First, I was accepted. There was no guarantee of that. They say most people who apply don't get accepted. Second, I had met a friend who lived in the Lower Mainland through another friend. And I mentioned this potential plan to him one year, and he said he could set me up with rent, a good deal on rent by living with him. So that was huge, because it was a very expensive place to live in Vancouver. Third, I talked to my manager at work and mentioned this plan and asked if I might be able to continue to work part-time while I was going to school, not expecting that they would be interested in that. But she was very supportive and said yes to this. So it was just amazing provision that enabled this journey. I don't think I could have done it without these things. I had the desire, the resources, and then all of these open doors. So in all of this, I saw God's hand of provision and enough validation that I could say this was his plan. So I reached the point of no return. I decided to go, paid my tuition, and I moved out to BC. And the story of facing challenges and receiving more provision in the face of difficulty did not end with the choice to go. There were complications and higher stakes. First, in the projects, the scripts that I was called to write as part of school were not what I was expecting. See, I'm kind of a sci-fi and fantasy guy, kind of high concept things. But the projects that they wanted me to write in school were things that they believed would sell better when you're first starting out, which is low budget. That means no special effects, no big sets. That's what you need with sci-fi and fantasy. So they said it has to be fewer locations, fewer characters, more character drama. That's not what I do. So that was a challenge. And in thinking about it and in praying about it, I got some ideas. And I found out, as God sustained these projects, these ideas, as I wrote them, that I could do it and that I enjoyed it. Then in spiritual community, I'm someone that likes to visit other churches. I'm someone that needs some form of spiritual community. I had a great Christian brother to live with, but he was part of kind of a mega church. And mega churches are great, which was really cool. It was a Mennonite mega church, if you can understand that. Abbotsford is like the Bible Belt of Canada. And, imagine this, but like 600 or 800 people. Really cool. But you don't get so much the personal interaction. And so I knew I was going to be looking at different churches. I knew I was only going to be there for a year, so I didn't know if I would find like a single home church. But I ended up finding about three that I loved enough to keep kind of circling between them the time I was there. In one of them, the very first day I was there, a man came up to me and introduced himself and was eager to chat and get to know me and had said, God told me to come and talk to you. And it turned out that I had an ongoing mentorship with this person. He is a few years older than me and just an amazing example of someone who depended on the Spirit's voice day by day, moment by moment. And just such an excellent spiritual mentor. God just provided so much through that relationship. And in another church I went to that was one that made a place for the higher gifts to be practiced in the church, something that I've seen done in unhealthy ways and also healthy ways, and it's something that I appreciate. And a person came up to me after one of those services and said, I turned to see you, and God put a vision in my head, an image in my head. I had to tell it to you. And what he shared with me was just so meaningful and personal and applicable. And it was just so encouraging. So God provided for my spiritual community needs. And then what about in opportunities to share Jesus in a very kind of dark environment? Would God supply the ability, the opportunity? Well, not so much like in class, because we were all focused on learning a craft, but in the one-on-ones that I had with people, with my classmates, God gave some amazing opportunities to share Jesus. And so I see seeds were planted in the lives of potential writers of tomorrow. And I pray that those will come to fruition. So in all of these ways, God continued to provide for me abundantly in challenging situations. But then a major setback. I lost my job in June. I thought it was a given that this job wasn't going anywhere. My manager had said that I can come back to work full-time when I was done school, so that was my assumption. But there were unforeseen cutbacks that they had to make. So now funds were a big issue. I knew I could finish school, but where it impacted was that I took an elective called Producing for Writers. So it's basically teaching that film production element to writers, which there's no need for writers to know that, but it's an opportunity. And they stress the benefit of it because by having something that I've written actually be produced, so you see the film, it is a big advantage because then producers can see it and say, oh, I like that writing. I'll maybe read something else that he's written. And without that, it's very difficult for anyone to read anything that you've written because there's just so much out there and it's not worth the time to read. So it was a big advantage to do it, but here I am. What it would mean was staying out in BC longer after school is done. So I made a final push. I was afraid to do it. It could go wrong in a lot of ways. But I saw it as a unique opportunity and another talent not to be squandered because there were ways of getting it done there at that time with the school's resources that I would have available that I couldn't have kind of anywhere else. So I went forward. I set it in motion. And God provided in big ways. First, through my decision to help another friend with his short film project, which was to help basically be a driver for him. He didn't have a car. And so I helped drive, which was over 4 days, tons of driving, and lots between Abbotsford and Vancouver. But it led to provision because through his project, I got my cinematographer. His was willing to work on mine, also his sound guy. The makeup artist was not able to, but knew someone, and they ended up being willing. And also a production designer. These are all core roles to get a professional-looking film production done. He also helped me with casting. And then through one of the churches that I went to, I met a man who had just finished his own film school. And he had just finished a short film production himself. And we had said, you know, at some point, we should work together. Well, when I did mine, he ended up being my lighting guy, camera assistant, and my editor. So amazing provision. But there were setbacks too. I didn't raise as much money as I was planning. This meant I constantly had to look for the inexpensive or free option for cast, crew, location, props, everything. And that makes it a lot harder. The equipment option through school, it became uncertain because they said, we can't guarantee that you'll have the equipment on the day that you've requested it because the priority is given to production students, not to writing students. So then I talked with my cinematographer. We decided we'd go with a slightly different set of equipment. So we scaled back, but we would have a certainty of what we would need. Then for props, the opportunity to use the props from school, they changed their policy and they weren't going to do props for writing students anymore. So that meant I would have to buy more stuff. It meant I'd have to go. MCC was a lifesaver. The thrift store is awesome for buying props. And then borrowing. I had to borrow a whole bunch of stuff from friends. I asked pretty much every resource I had in the area, and got what I needed. And then locations. I thought I had written a story that would be easily filmable in one location. It needed an unfinished basement, a bedroom, a living room with a front door area. I thought, easy. Well, no one in Vancouver has an unfinished basement, it seems. So I realized I would have to split this up. With only a few weeks to go, my roommate, would also God's provision, he was willing to let me film in his house where I was living. He had a garage that had some kind of concrete, so that could double as a basement, could use a bedroom there. But his living room didn't work because it wasn't on the ground floor where I needed a front door area. So I had to keep looking. I could use his place for two of the three, but then I had to find a living room at a different location. I thought that would be easy, but it still didn't work out. Until finally, one of the actors that I was talking with said that we could use his place. And that was about a week to go before I would have to film. So then the climax, the filming day. It went really well, but it was a really intense day. About 14 hours. We had to cover what we had to cover in that kind of basement and bedroom scene. And we knew it was going to be 14 hours, so everyone was aware, but we had to also not go too far, like go over that. And thankfully, we kept it to that. And I had never directed before, but it was a really amazing experience. I felt like I was capable. It was something I was suited to. And even though I didn't know completely what I was doing, we ended up with what we needed. And I really felt it as the day progressed, that it was working. So I'm now in this state of just a new existence. The film is still in post-production. God provided enough people for post-production, sound editing, composing, coloring. All movies need color. And these were all connections of friends. And I had enough from what I had raised to pay them, a little bit anyway. And here I am, that have gained, someone who's gained a wealth of skills and strength, developed an even greater desire to both write and potentially even produce films. If it's God's will, films that glorify God through truth, beauty, and light, whether directly or indirectly, and when I say indirectly, that's skillfully written stories with good themes. And I have experienced God's provision to such an extent that I am even more confident in God's faithfulness and his amazing care and love. So, what were a few lessons that I learned through this whole experience? Well, first I learned, actually go back for a second, Wes, that all films tend to follow a three-act structure. And you may not have realized it, but that's the structure I was telling my whole story in. You'll see them segmented there. And there's six phases with five turning points in this structure. 99% of movies follow this. Sorry if I just ruined movies for you. But you can see those points in almost every movie. And still, we enjoy it. We enjoy them. It's a tested structure that works, and we kind of require it when someone tells a story. Well, what else did I learn? We need to face adversity to obtain transformation. When we write a story, we're putting a character through a series of situations and challenges that are not easy. It wouldn't be fun or it wouldn't be interesting if he didn't face any challenges. Fun to watch. It's not always fun to go through it as the character, but that is what makes a good story, and it's always what brings about the transformation in the character at the end. If there was no challenge, there would be no transformation. So the difficulty is God's way of transforming us into the strong, beautiful children that display him to the world. If we understand that, adversity is necessary, it helps because we can then expect it and know that it's part of God's growth plan for us. There's some scripture on there that are just exactly what we've always read in scripture. Well, this is nothing new to us, but the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Suffering produces endurance. Doesn't sound pleasant, and yet somehow we can consider it joy. So it's part of God's growth plan for us, and also that he will go ahead and behind us to take care of what's needed. That's where the provision part of this message comes in. And he'll always be there beside you as you go through it. And what else did this teach? That doing all these things in our lives is part of bringing glory to the author of the story. Not for us, but we're a medium for that glory to take form. He shows glory through the work he enables us to do on earth, and the things we work at and create using the talents he's given us to invest. And he gets glory in sustaining and providing for us in the challenges we face in our journey after him in this life. Amen.